paranormal perception is about to be conjured into existence by 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC. This is Paranormal Perception. This show is where you start your journey into the unknown.
You have many questions.
Do we have answers?
Concurrently, while your first question may be the most pertinent, you may or may not realize it is also the most irrelevant.
Sometimes, we'll have more questions.
Ergo, some of my answers you will understand and some of them you will not.
One thing's for sure, by the end of this episode, you'll have a new perception of the paranormal.
I've been waiting for you.
Welcome to Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel and spiritual guidance from unearthing the supernatural. To answer your questions, no, the boys won't be on this one. But don't go anywhere because I'm going to tell you about a couple new things plus a new thing that'll debut on the other new thing. Confused? Don't worry about it. It'll clear up by the end of this episode. A lot of new stuff, including two new guests. So let me introduce you to the first one. First one is Gair Allen. He's an author of several best-selling books, including Ghost Crimes Based on Actual Paranormal Cases, Two's Company, Three's a Pack, and A Family in Faith, among others. Gair is also a writer for theghostdiaries.com, and he was born in Tampa, Florida, where he currently resides. Years of metaphysical study resulted in the Seven Lessons book series and The Dead, A True Paranormal Story. Gair supports animal welfare organizations in his free time, and he's dedicated to physical fitness. And he joins me now on Paranormal Perception. Hey, Gair, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Henry. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on. So let me start with kind of a classic question. I'm going to put a little twist on it. What came first, the metaphysical study or your paranormal experiences?
So I'm kind of a left brain kind of guy, so I have to go to my Webster dictionary on that. So, I were talking before the show, and, you know, the paranormal is defined as anything that can't be explained by science.
Right.
Metaphysics is Latin for above, beyond, or transcending the physical. So if you look at it that way, the paranormal sort of falls under the metaphysical umbrella. But having said that, I had a paranormal experience when I was 12 years old, and I sought after metaphysical experiences in my mid-20s. So technically, the paranormal.
So then, because of that, is it safe to say you weren't on the skeptical side when you started the studies?
I wasn't on the skeptical side. I wasn't on any side. I was I was a middle child, still am, and you know, probably a very emotional child as well. And I think I was sort of just open to anything and everything, and I didn't know what I didn't know. And so when you have a paranormal experience like I had at 12 years old, it really starts to shape and define what you believe can be real and can happen. I was also the kind of child that if I said, hey, this happened, and someone said, I don't believe you, I just dug my heels deeper in the sand to prove that it did. So I think that happened as well with a lot of my experiences.
Okay, this is like the third week in a row that this happens with the guest. You can't just say I had a paranormal experience and then just leave it at that, because I know this audience want to know, what was it? So what was that first experience?
So I was 12 years old, and I had gone to bed for the night, and my bedroom was at the top of the stairs of a two-story house. And I'd gone to bed, and I left my door open just a few inches, and the family dog at the time was at the foot of my bed, and I had just laid down. I was there maybe a moment. And suddenly, out of nowhere, my bed just started to lift itself and levitate off the ground. And in hindsight, it was probably just a few inches. It wobbled a little bit, and then it just kind of dropped with a thud back down to the floor. And my limbs moved in response. The dog jumped off the bed in response, and I just kind of was frozen, not really understanding what had happened. And just then, my older brother had been coming up the stairs, and he peeked his head in the door, and he said, what was that noise? And again, giving me confirmation that he heard it as well. And I didn't have a TV on or a radio on or anything like that. And he just, I was just white in terror. He must have chalked it up to another weird little brother moment and just walked off. But that was the first paranormal experience I had.
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that you got confirmation, not just from yourself, but also from your dog reacting, your arms reacted to your brother, like he heard it. So it happened. You weren't imagining it. Similar to me when I was 4 and I had mine. Was that the only one, or did anything else happen around that time?
At that age, that was the one thing that happened, but a lot of weird things would happen. I've always been a vivid dreamer. And so I would dream of things that were going to happen, and they would happen. And it would just be little things and weird things. Like, I dreamt I was standing in the kitchen talking to my father and my brothers, and my brother dropped a glass on the floor and it shattered. And the next day I'm standing in the kitchen exactly as I saw it in my dream. And I just watched his hand because I knew he was going to drop the glass. And when he dropped it, I reached for it and got it. Now, of course, my dad wanted to sign me up for football because of my reactions and dexterity and things like that. And I'm like, no, I actually dreamt that that was going to happen. I'm not that coordinated. At another time where we used to have block parties, and our house was the hub and the cul-de-sac. And one of the neighbors walked up and said, oh, you have donuts. Jelly's my favorite. And she grabbed a jelly. And a day or two later, we're in the garage and she walks up, and I turned to my mother and I said, she's going to tell you she likes jelly and grab a jelly donut. And just, she walked up and did exactly that. And so I kind of had these things happen. But again, you know, I'm kind of a left brain guy. So I was like, you know, trying to make sense. I wasn't really in wow. It was more like, let me figure this out, because I believe it happened. But I'm trying to figure out what happened. And if that turned out to be the paranormal exists, then so be it. But at that age, you know, I wasn't ready to, I didn't even know what that was to accept it at the time. But my parents and my family are very grounded people. So there was more of, oh, it's a coincidence, you know, that sort of thing. So it didn't stifle me from having the experiences or thinking about them, but I wasn't encouraged to pursue them either.
Did you ever find out who or what or why your bed levitated and dropped?
So something interesting happened after the fact. So I had, I was big into Ozzy Osbourne back in those days in heavy metal. And I had an Ozzy tapestry that I'd gotten at one of the fairs that came to town. And it was just a tapestry. It was probably 12 by 12. And I had it on the wall with 4 tacks. And it had a giant pentagram on it. And I noticed after the bed levitated that the tapestry was now gone from the wall, but the 4 tacks were still in the wall. And the tapestry was underneath my bed. And it had been removed, and because the edges hadn't been torn, so the tacks had been taken out. It had been taken out, put underneath my bed, and then the tacks put back on the wall. And it was only later that I started to learn about how pentagrams drawn a certain way, you know, drawn one way, they can protect you. Drawn another way, they can actually be a portal.
Yeah.
And open yourself up to stuff. And so it kind of brought me back to that time. And I said, wow, I wonder if something came through the house at that point.
You never heard anyone take it down or if it fell or anything?
I asked my brothers, and, you know, but, you know, brothers, we were constantly, you know, they're not going to admit if they played a joke on you, right? That's not going to happen. I mean, and about a week later, my brother hid underneath my bed, and I went to bed one night, and he tried to scare me. And of course he did, because there was a person under my bed.
Yeah.
So they, you know, brothers do that kind of stuff, you know, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, brothers are brothers, no matter what.
They're relentless.
Yeah, but I was also still smiling at when you mentioned your dad. He tried to make you play football. See, I would have had the opposite reaction when I learned that you were kind of, I guess you could call them prophetic dreams. Instead of having you play football, I would have asked you, "Hey, who's going to win the World Series? Who's going to win the Super Bowl?" I would, yeah, right. Or what's the lottery numbers? I would have done that instead of having you play football.
Yeah, he's a very grounded individual to this day, and he actually shared with me that he had a massive heart attack early in life, and he actually was technically dead, and they brought him back, and he saw the white light, and he doesn't want to talk about it. It did not give him comfort to see the white light. It did not give him any kind of solace in the other side. He had the opposite reaction. So I think he was very disappointed that when you die, you don't just die. I think that's what he expected, and now he's kind of wrestling with the fact that this may not be it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, he's just not the type of person to have that conversation. Of course, I'm chomping at the bit to find out what he saw, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So he had an NDE, near death experience.
Yeah, he actually was gone, and then they put him on a helicopter and flew him to a hospital, and he made it. But he technically passed away for a short time.
I've always said with different guests that when somebody has some kind of supernatural or paranormal experience, one or two things can happen. Either, and you are a perfect example of that. Either like you, like me, like most people listening to Paranormal Perception right now, we want to know more. We want to research more. We want to understand more. Or like what happened to your dad. You want nothing to do with it. My house is haunted. Okay, we're moving. We're out of here. So I've learned over the years, one or two things happen. People react one or two ways when they have a paranormal experience. Either they want to know more or they just run away from it. So yeah, now I'm kind of like you. I want to know now what your dad saw that thing. I'm not want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, because not only, well, and coming from him, I know it would be completely honest. He wouldn't embellish because he doesn't want it to be fantastic, right? He doesn't want it to be something anybody remembers. So he would give me exactly what it is, no more, no less. And I would trust that, you know, that interpretation of what happened.
So Gary, you and I, we're about the same age, give or take a year or three, maybe. So I know, at least on where I grew up, there weren't too many back then that when we were kids, there weren't too many resources for like paranormal or even metaphysical type of study. So when you started studying, how did you go about researching the metaphysical, the paranormal, and all that?
So it was interesting. It was, I was like 25 years old, and I was driving down this road that I'd driven down 100 times, you know, in my youth. And something just made me turn into this plaza, and I turned in, and there was a metaphysical bookstore. And it wasn't just a bookstore. It was half bookstore and trinkets, and it was half workshop. And there were people that taught hypnosis and taught divination, and they had all these workshops and psychic fairs and things like that. But they went deeper. They had a Reiki person there. You know, everything you can think of, you know, they either taught it or had a workshop there, provided the service. But what was most interesting to me was that they actually taught these things, you know, you can do it yourself kind of thing. But I turned into the plaza and I went inside and started looking at the books. And right away, the first thing that grabbed me was reincarnation. Something about the concept just grabbed me. And again, I can't tell you what I was thinking 10 minutes before. I was probably listening to something on the radio. But 10 minutes after that, I was in a bookstore buying my first book on reincarnation. And I just kept buying book after book after book. I think it was Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Brian Weiss, which is just a fantastic introduction to reincarnation. And next thing I know, and I'm going to date myself, I had the cassettes. That actually took you back into a state where you could regress yourself. I actually had myself regressed in one of the workshops at the academy several times and gone back into different lives. And I just could not get enough. And it was something I focused on. And I was so focused and so dedicated to it that I learned through the experiences that the healthier you are, you know, the less soda you take in, the better foods, you know, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you know, will allow you to connect better. And I did all those things. I was in the best shape of my life by default because I was trying to really connect to these things and stay healthy so that my body and my mind and my soul were all in alignment and connecting. And it was that started it all for me.
Yeah, I've heard that actually before. A lot of medium psychics, they do that. They keep themselves clean, if you will. But I was smiling again because I when you were describing the shop, I almost thought you were going to say, and Dan Aykroyd was behind the counter. It was Ray's Occult Shop from Ghostbusters.
Now that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea until recent years I saw him on Joe Rogan. I had no idea he was such a huge paranormal guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even before Ghostbusters, he was already... I think that's part of the reason why he wrote the... I guess it was going to be an SNL skit, I think it was. But it turned, obviously, into the movie, and I guess you can call it a franchise now with, what is it, four or five movies that they have now?
Yeah.
For you, after that, what or who told you, okay, it's time for me to write a book?
So what happened was I turned 40, and I started writing a series of short stories, and they're called the Seven Lessons series, and it was my attempt at Metaphysics 101. So the first book was called Seven Sessions, and it was seven sessions where I was regressed into previous lives. And then the next book was Seven Reflections, and then it continued on, Seven Abductions, where, you know, the character was abducted, seven projections where they practiced astral projection, seven predictions where they focused on divination and tarot reading. And again, it was my idea. I was writing the fictional short stories, sort of giving a metaphysics 101 to anybody who was interested in kind of a playful way of understanding what metaphysics is. And because again, you know, we were talking about this before, everybody knows what paranormal is. They may not be sure what metaphysics is or what that actually entails. So people would ask me, you know, hey, the characters in the book, are they based on things that happened to you? And I go, yeah, I use my experiences. I just put it in a fictional format. So when I got to book six, I had actually lost part of it. I got a virus in my computer and I was very frustrated and I lost part of the book. And I stopped and I said, you know what? Everybody keeps asking me if all this stuff happened to me. I'm going to write a book chronologically that tells what happened from the time my bed levitated at 12 years old until now, which at the time was 2014. And I did. I sat down and within a month and a half, I wrote this book. And it's called The Dead. And I published it, you know, just 2 months after I wrote it. And it was literally everything that happened to me. You know, no embellishment, no pleading you to believe me. It's just, hey, this is what happened and this is how I interpreted it. And I put that out there and it became an Amazon bestseller within a few weeks. It was very well received. But what it did for me was sort of, I got to relive what had happened in my journey from 25 years old to 40 years old. But also I got to capture those memories because age and memories, they start to fade. And I didn't like that I was remembering things, but it was like, no, that happened, but you didn't have a green shirt on, you had a blue shirt. I'm like, oh, I was starting to mess up the details a little bit. I didn't like that. So I wanted to preserve them. But yeah, so that's kind of what told me to put pen to paper, was to sort of tell everybody, hey, here's everything that's happened to me. And I've done it with other books that related more to dog rescue, you know, some of the loss I've suffered in my life. I wanted to preserve memories of my loved ones. So I've done that in other books outside of the paranormal genre as well.
For the Seven Lessons series, why was it seven?
So this is the first time I'd ever written anything. So I'm a very structured guy. Again, very left brain guy. So to me, it made sense if I had seven books, if each book started with the seven, if each book had seven chapters. So to me, it was a way to structure it so that I knew how to write it. And it actually worked because I would write chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then I would write chapter 7. And then I would know that I had to arc it and finish off the big finish in 6 and then do the conclusion in 7. And it was just, you know, some writers will tell you that they have an outline and some tell you they just sit down and start writing and they see what happens. And I'm the former. I have to have a structure. And 7's always been a lucky number, and that was just kind of how I rolled with it.
Yeah, sometimes I wish some Hollywood people over here had a plan like that. Some of the movies is like they just throw stuff at the wall and let's see what works, see what sticks. So I wish they would do that. Yeah, because you're right, you do have to have the finish line, if you will. Yeah, you need to know where you're going to know how to get there. So yeah, it makes sense what you're saying. Now for the Dead, because it was so personal, so biographical for you, how hard was it to start writing it?
It was difficult because you know, I had paranormal experiences attached to the people I lost in my life. And, you know, for those that are in the paranormal listening to this, you know, it's great. Oh, you know, we go looking for ghosts. Well, what happens when a loved one passes? And I got kind of twisted and turned around on my head a little bit during some of the loss in my life because I said, wait a minute, have they passed on? Are they ghosts? Are they trapped in between worlds? Are they being taunted by investigators somewhere? I didn't know what happened on the other side. Suddenly it wasn't so fun to consider what might be happening on the other side. And it messed with my head for a while, to be honest with you. It took a long time to get past that, specifically with my mother, because I did not like not knowing that, you know, she had passed over, because I would get signs. And I said, well, I appreciate that there are signs that she's here, but I don't know that she's at peace. Maybe it's a sign that she needs help. And of course, when you're close to something emotionally, you can't be objective, right? So I didn't know what was happening with her. And it took almost a year. And I'll tell you what finally got me over the bump was I had come home from the gym and I was talking to my workout partner and I was kind of venting on him about this. And he's into the paranormal, so it wasn't out of left field. But of course, what do you say to that? You know, there's really no response or answer for that. You know, he just let me vent and kind of, you know, freak out a little bit. So anyway, I got home and I pulled out my phone, and again, the house was empty. The dogs were outside. I let them out. No TV, no radio, completely quiet. And I hit my phone voice dictation, and I was just going to send him a text and say, "Hey man, thanks for listening. You know, I know it's kind of, you know, off topic a little bit at the gym, you know, talking about this weird stuff or whatever." And I hit voice dictation, and the second it beeped right back off immediately. And so I went to hit it again, and when I went to hit it, it had actually recorded two words in that split second, and the two words were "Mom, good." Mm. And I said, "I finally got it. I finally got the message that she's okay on the other side."
Yeah, I love that story. See, I haven't gotten that because my mom passed away. I'll be on, and they know that I'm not revealing something that is secret or anything, but everyone in my family, they had dreams about her. I saw her. She said she's fine. And I didn't say that lie, but I kept thinking in my head, kind of like you're saying, like, why isn't she coming to me? I was her son. Why isn't she telling me she's okay? But I haven't gotten that message from her yet, but you know, I hope I do get something similar to like what you got, that, yeah, something like, and because I don't know how you are, but I'm a person that doesn't believe in coincidences. I mean, everything happens for a reason, for sure, for me, that's the way I see things. So there had to be a reason why it, you know, in that split second it captured those two words, and especially what you were thinking.
Yeah, and I did dream of my mother for a year, which is the crazy thing, like literally every other night. And again, I remember my dreams. They're vivid. I mean, people will say, "Oh, this is cool stuff." It's a curse and a blessing, depending on how you're perceiving it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but in the dream, I could never see her eyes. And again, this is going to sound silly when I tell you the reason, because you're going to be like, "How did you not figure that out?" But when you're so emotionally close to something, you don't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
You just don't. And well, long story short, the reason I didn't see her eyes in the dream for a year is because my mother had donated her eyes. They took her eyes after she passed. She was an organ donor.
Mm.
And once I remembered that, then I stopped having those dreams. But I do remember the first anniversary. You talk about coincidences. The first anniversary, I went to one of her favorite restaurants and honor, you know, and had breakfast. And the server walked up, and the server's name tag was Victoria, which was my mother's name.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, come on.
Yeah. So all the books, and by the way, I have a list to all of them. I have a list of your website for everybody listening to get all the books. For all the books, who are you writing them for, really?
So the original plan for the Seven Lessons books was Metaphysics 101, like I said. And it was really to help people like understand what happened, because people would say, "Oh my God, I had a dream that," and they would describe in the dream astral projection, or they would describe in the dream that they met with a loved one, or what to me seemed like a spirit guide. And I started thinking, and I said, you know, if somebody were to read some of my experiences and read how I interpreted them, again, not that I know all and I have all the answers by any means, but if it helps them to understand and even bring comfort to an experience they had, that made me happy. And I said, well, you know, I'm going, like you said, you know, I think everything happens for a reason. I'm going through these experiences for a reason. Yes, to put pen to paper, because that felt natural and I'm still doing it. But I think we share experiences with each other. And sometimes it's just one little thing somebody says that helps you get past something. And if somebody had said something to me earlier on about my mother passing to help me deal with it, that would have been of great use to me. Or maybe something I read in a book. So the first reason was to help people in a long-winded way. And then the other part was to preserve the memory, because I did not want to forget the events. I'm on my second generation of rescue dogs. You know, God willing, I'll have, you know, third and a fourth before I pass away. And I love dogs, and they're just amazing. And so I wanted to preserve that first generation. And that's what Two's Company, Three's a Pack is about.
Okay. Do you have any new books that you're working on?
So I published, I have a ghost crime series out. So I have Ghost Crimes, the first book, which is based on actual paranormal experiences specific to first responders. Then I got Ghost Crimes 2 came out last year, The Paranormal Enemy. I'm currently about 3/4 of the way through Ghost Crimes 3. The working title is The Unholy Trinity. So I'm working on that. And then I'm also working on making the first Ghost Crimes a screenplay.
Yeah, I love the titles. All the books are different. They're paranormal, supernatural, but they're all different. I'm wondering why haven't any of these been turned into a movie or a TV show?
You know, I honestly haven't shopped them, so I thought about it and I said, when you're a self-published author, you know, it's like you got to do your own editing. You got to write it, then you got to edit it. You know, I have a friend that helps me edit, and I have the book cover you got to make. And then you got to market it. I mean, you're a one-man show to make these things happen. And my understanding through, you know, research is that you get more money for the screenplay, because if somebody buys your book for a movie, they have to then make it a screenplay, right?
Yeah.
Or a script. So I went ahead and said, okay, let me buy the format, the software, and I did, and then convert that and then try and sell the software. So that is my hope. Once I get it done, I don't know. We're in Tampa, Florida. I'm going to shop my script. I don't know. So I need to reach out to some friends in LA, which I have a few, and see if I can, maybe make something happen. But I'd love to see Ghost Crimes for sure be a Netflix series, or I think it would do better as a series, to be honest with you, just because there's so many different cases. I really packed those books full of different cases and experiences with different first responders. I think that would be very interesting.
Yeah. I know we got Thanksgiving coming up, and we've got about a month left with Christmas also. So not much left in 2022, but do you have any appearances or anything booked for next year that you can start promoting now?
You know, I haven't booked anything intentionally next year because I put myself on personal lockdown so I can finish Ghost Crimes 3 and I can finish Ghost Crimes screenplay and get those things done. So I kind of have to discipline myself in that way. But I'm hoping to get to next year's Paracon up in Massachusetts. I'm not sure if it'll be in Salem or Plymouth, but I'm hoping to do that. And then maybe something local here in Tampa as well.
Okay. To finish, give them your website, social media, everywhere where they can find and learn more about you.
Yes, all my books are available on Amazon.com in Kindle and paperback. They're also available on Audible, but you can follow me on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram at Gare Allen, and then my website is GareAllen.com.
And like always, I have everything linked for all of you listening. Just click on Gare's name and it'll take you there. Gare, thanks a lot for coming on. It was fun talking to you. I'm sure I'm going to have you back again, because I actually want to have you talk about we'll talk about the book also, but also talk about the because I've always been interested in that, in people in law enforcement and they in their paranormal experiences. Not too many people, especially them, want to talk about it. So if you're able to, we'll do it. Probably thinking early next year. We're almost done with this year.
No, that sounds great, Henry. I'd love to.
Yeah, so again, it's Gare Allen. I have the website linked on everything. Gare, thanks a lot. But everybody else, hang on. We're not done yet. Next, we're going to talk about haunted voices. But first, here's how you can get your ghost story in for this year's Christmas episode. As soon as the calendar hits December and the nights get colder, know that here on Paranormal Perception, scaring is caring. We'll be sharing your ghost stories on this year's Christmas episode, so get them in before December 16th. Record them on paranormalperception.show or on your phone and email them to Henry at paranormalperception.show. Season's screaming from all of us at Paranormal Perception. Magic. Wonder. Wonderful magic. The world is full of wonderful magic. You just have to take the time to see it. Here is a little audio magic from Paranormal Perception. Well, actually, this time it's going to be from Todd Bates. Return visit from Todd Bates. This time I'm going to introduce him as Todd Bates, author. He's got a new book called The Haunted Voice, From Skeptic to Seeker of the Other Side. It's available right now. And of course, I have a link to it on the show description for you guys to get the show. So Todd, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Henry.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Let me start, first of all, by saying congratulations. I think you mentioned it the last time you were on, that the book was coming. It's out now, so congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was a labor of love, that's for sure.
Yeah. Then, well, let's start there. When did you get the idea to write the book?
Oh my goodness, it was months ago that the idea popped into my head, and I had to keep it to myself. If I would have told anyone, I wouldn't have done it. That's just the way I am. I had to be headstrong and just stay forward and keep my eyes on the prize. And I wrote it in the background, you know, even around my girlfriend, Sherry, God love her. I'm sitting there typing out the wazoo, and she's none the wiser. And my family, my daughters, none of them knew. And it was just one of those days popped up. Hey, I did a thing. Here it is.
I'm thinking of a joke. You know, when people sometimes ask you, what are you writing the book? Actually, for you, it would have been, yeah, actually, I am. Yeah. No, but I was also thinking, I think it's a generational thing because I'm the same way. I keep things very close to the vest when you know, with the OC Paracon, people kind of knew about it because 2020 kind of messed that up. We were going to do it in 2020, but then we had to go virtual, all that stuff that happened. Everybody knows. But when you do big things, I usually keep it to myself until it drops. Like I said, I think that's a generational thing. I'm not one of those that has to put everything on social media. This is coming up. Big plans. Big this. Or get ready for this. I just drop it. You know, it's the literal mic drop. I think that I'm hearing that from you also.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. It was one of those I had to just put my head down, concentrate, do it alone, or I wouldn't have done it. And it was extremely freeing to write. It was a beautiful relationship with it because all of this stuff, I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to sit here. How am I going to do this, Todd? You know, how in the world are you going to tell these people about your life when you can barely write an email? Well, it just happened. And all the words flowed. And all the circumstances came back, all the memories came back, and there's so many stories in there about my life that were hard. And writing that, yes, some tears came to my eyes, absolutely, because some of those, there's some pretty bad memories in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy to write things like that, but it's also very freeing to write things like that, so I highly recommend it.
What is it? Autobiographical or I mean, without giving it all away, I mean, what is the book about?
Oh, it's an autobiography about my life, about me coming up into the paranormal, the birth of my radio show, the alcoholic issues associated with me in the paranormal, how I became obsessed with the paranormal, you know, to the point where alcohol was the only thing that was to calm me down because I couldn't find any answers. I couldn't find any absolutes out there in this field. And I used to turn to alcohol to calm down, and it became a serious problem. Mm-hmm. Now, never did I do that on investigations. Of course, I didn't, you know, I had some sense about me, but it became a problem. And that's where it intertwines in the book on things that happened to me, my past, which so many people have asked because I'm such a recluse. I'm a shy guy. I'm not very talkative when it comes to face-to-face conversations and things. And that's where it was a little hard to write because it wasn't very inviting. You know, I'm not this big social butterfly.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like no, but I was gonna ask, is there anything that you didn't want to include in the book?
No, what I wanted to do with the book was put my life out there in the hopes of helping someone else that was in that same situation I was, rock bottom in the paranormal field. It's not a very good place to be. It's even darker than dark because you're out there in the thick of these investigations. You're out there in literally some dark places. And it starts to take control, just total control of your mind, your movements, your actions. And that's what it did to me. And there's stories in there, of course. For example, I used to work corrections back in the day for 4 years. And that's how everything started. That's how the whole paranormal started. Everything was because of that one incident. I was a complete skeptic, totally skeptic back then, and worked in a correctional facility, got into some issues with some inmates, was extorted. It was bad. They found out about my home, what it looked like. They knew everything about it. My kid's name. That's when I turned and did something that I normally wouldn't do, which is all in the book, of course. And I did something I normally wouldn't do and spent some time away. So I was on both sides of the fence, both sides of the bars. And that was very hard to write about because that's basically where I broke Henry as a man. It broke me. And I came out completely almost antisocial. I would be your neighborhood narcissist for crying out loud. It was terrible. And they worked with me for a long time and finally brought me back to speed to where I can introduce myself socially again. You know, I snapped. Everybody has their breaking point. Some people would never say that. Oh my God, why would you admit your weakest point? Because it's my strongest point. That's why. And that's why those things are in that book, is because I fell, but I got back up every single time. I got back up. And hopefully someone can read that and that will bring them back up. That will get them back on the right path. They'll learn from those mistakes and so forth. So a lot of passion went into the book.
Yeah, I can tell. And it sounds, not to give away the whole book, but it sounds like what you encountered wasn't human spirits, at least from what I see. Because your story sounds very similar to the way we started this month with another author, C.O. Thomas. When she came on, her story is very similar to yours, where she, a lot of dark things, a lot of really bad things happened, which manifested into physical ailments, including she developed cancer, she broke an ankle, all kinds of bad things happened in her life. But like I told her, kind of sounds the same with you. Sounds like these things that found you, especially in a corrections facility where there's a lot of energy that can create like an egregore, and it's just, you know, feeding, looking to feed on people. And they know, like I said to her, like in real life, abusers, they somehow know who exactly to go for. And maybe there's a supernatural reason why, but the spirits, those spirits that feed on that negative energy of ours, they know how to find our weakness, how to pull it out of us, how to get the most of us. Because their goal is not to see us suffer. It's for them to feed. They're just hungry. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, addictions, all those things, that's where it comes from. We think we're so modern that, nah, that's not real. It's just an addiction. Nah, not really. We're not so in touch with the spiritual side, with the entities that are actually still there, that we don't think that's what it is. But yeah, I'm glad you found that and it became a book and, you know, turned into your career, what it is now. So, I don't want to speak for you, D. Is any of that correct that I just said?
Spot on, Henry. Spot on.
Yeah. So, we're not going to get, obviously, too much into the book. It just came out this month. And you sent me a copy. I haven't finished all of it. I just started when you sent it. So that's why I say I'm assuming it's in the book, because I just haven't gotten to that part yet. It's probably in there.
Oh, sure.
But let's talk a little bit. And I am going to tease an episode coming up probably next month in December, where I'm going to have a lot of authors. I already told you before we started recording, I think I'm going to have you come on. Let's talk a little bit about the, not the writing, but the getting it published, getting it out to the people process. First of all, this one is self-published, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So why'd you go self-published instead of going through a publisher?
Well, I wanted more control of it. I talked to a few people that had done this before, and I was talking to an individual. He prefers to remain anonymous, but he helped me a lot with what to do as far as publisher versus self-publishing. And I weighed the pros and cons the best I could. And for what I wanted, self-publishing worked for me, because you know, I don't want it exposed to billions of people. I don't want this to be a New York bestseller kind of thing. This is just a guy's story out on the line for someone to pick up that it may help him. It's, you know, it's got other things in there as well. But self-publishing, you had to, and it's still in the process. It just now hit Amazon paperback. Of course, the first thing that goes is Kindle. And then paperback hits, but now we're waiting on the hardcover. Everything, it's the only problem with self-publishing is things are so detailed when it comes to dimensions and weights and all of that.
Yeah.
So having to get that down, compressed a little bit to put it in hardback form. And then once that gets approved, then it goes to another distributor that's going to send it to Walmart, Apple Books, and places like that. That's the process that's coming. And
I've spoken to other authors that have gone the self-publishing route. Does it get as detailed as they've told me, where it's even they ask you what type of paper do you want to print it on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's where I turned to, and him and I did this together. And it was a team effort to get this thing through, especially in time for Halloween. That was the hardest part. We wanted to release it on Halloween, and it did. The digital got released on Halloween, the paperback November 1st. But it's I think with self-publishing, you have more control. There's, and also getting your own copies, like people that want a signed copy, they get it from my website. And in turn, I have to order a book. Or you know, a box of them, and it's expensive, but yet it's inexpensive.
Yeah.
See, but I think publishing, they would just take more, in my opinion. They would just take more from you. Do less. I to promote this, it's going to be social media. It's going to be things like that. There's not going to be any kind of NBC interviews on the Today Show anytime soon for the Haunted Voice, Henry. It's not one of those kinds of books. It's one that was written in the hopes of helping others, entertaining others a little bit with some things that are in there, and to explain to people what I went through, the reason for the radio show hiatuses, the reason for me being gone for periods of time. This explains all of that. That's what the book was for, is to kind of save me from sitting in front of the mic for a couple hours and explaining it myself, if that makes any sense.
It does. I was going to say to you what you just said, there won't be any NBC interviews, any of that. That also can kind of be a generational thing, because I say this to a lot of people who say that. And you forget, we live in the 21st century. Today, things, books, movies, things, they take on a life of their own online or wherever it is. And then the NBCs, the CBSs, ABCs, they hear about it and they have to have you on. So don't look at it as I'm never going to be on there. So and from what we talked about before we started, it's doing really good right now. Obviously, people want to hear it, want to read it. So if it takes on a life of its own and people are talking about that book, you got to read that book, write that book. Don't be surprised if you do hear from one of those big time producers, hey, we heard you had a really good book. Can you come on and talk about it?
I would welcome it. I would welcome it, and I would definitely entertain it, but I'm not looking for it, of course.
Yeah.
That's just too much for me. It's too much. This was written as therapy, if anything else. There's some ghost stories in there, things of that nature, but it's mostly therapy. Throughout the years of my show, so many people have asked me, well, what happened? Where did you go? Why'd you stay away so long? You know, did this happen because you did this? Well, now all the answers are in there, and especially those listeners will know that they'll have their questions answered from times past.
Yeah.
And other people that have struggled perhaps with alcoholism, struggled in the paranormal, Because there's a lot in there about my struggle with that and the community, the skeptics versus believers, the whole nine yards. There's some good instances in there, some good evidence in there that you can relate to. But mostly that book was written as therapy, and not just therapy for me, but therapy for the reader as well. Hopefully they can pick a small spot out of there and go, oh, okay, I can relate to that. I can relate to that. It's a wholesome book like that.
I am 200% sure that's what you're going to do, because yes, there are a lot of people that are suffering, whether accidentally, you know, we just did an episode on that, you know, over Halloween. People, mm-hmm. because it's Halloween, they want to have spooky fun. They've never delved into the paranormal or know anything about it. But because it's Halloween, they want to have spooky fun. Let's play a Ouija board. Let's play Bloody Mary, conjure this. And they actually do, accidentally. Now they're stuck with it. They don't know what to do. So there's those. And there's also people that have had years of experience. Something has attached itself to them. It's making their life a living hell. And so, yeah, something in this book is going to speak to them and is going to give them that one spark that says, yeah, Todd got out of it. I can get out of it. So, yeah, I'm 200% positive that that's exactly what's going to happen.
And I can only hope, because anybody can, you know, saying it is one. Actions speak louder. To go through some of the things that I went through and to come out of it successful, it's hard work. It's very hard work, Henry. It's very hard work. It's very ridiculing. You're judged a lot. And there's a lot of people out there that have been in trouble on the other side of the law. Mostly, you know, let's face it, people do things wrong. It's just half of them don't get caught.
Yeah.
And the ones that do are completely judged, ridiculed. It's horrible. So to have something come out of it where it makes you look, oh my goodness, wow, they do have some sense about them. That helps with confidence as well, because that's the one thing that they do take from you when you're in a prison situation or in any kind of trouble with the law is your self-esteem. It's just completely sucked out of you. It's gone. And you have to completely start from ground up and work that back into your life again. And there's a lot of situations in that book of coming around, the vehicle accidents, the DUIs. It's just there's so much in there. And these are coming back from paranormal conferences, driving back. Paranormal conferences, my goodness, that's where a lot of us are introduced to open bars and things of this nature at some of these places. You've got to be careful when you mix the two.
Yeah,
because then it becomes a habit, and next thing you know, you're down on your luck. So you have to be careful a lot, and that's why I frowned on a lot of these shows like mixing the paranormal with booze on radio and kind of making light of it. There's more people than myself, I know this for a fact, that turn to alcohol or something else in this field because they can't find answers. Yeah. Because they're at a roadblock. The people that really dive into it, you know, and take the field seriously, the researchers, it's hard to it's like going to a murder scene, Henry. You can't get that mind. You can't get that vision out of your head. It's like same thing with the paranormal. If you see an apparition, let's say you experience some audio in your ear and you can't explain it, there's, you know, what do most people think after a bad situation happens? Oh my God, I need a beer.
Yeah.
Snowballs.
Yeah. And so, you asked me actually when you and Nicole Strickland, when I went on your show talking about OC Paracon, I think either Nicole or you, they asked, are you going to do like a meet and greet or something like that? Part of the reason, and a lot of other shows ask me also, part of the reason why I don't do that is I joked about this, but not really joking, only half joking. You're correct. Most of the meet and greets at Paracons, it's an excuse to go get drunk. And that's the, like you just said, that's the one thing you don't want to do before you go delving into metaphysics and paranormal and ghosts and demons and all this stuff. You want to be at your sharpest. You want to have your guard up. Having anything down, your inhibitions, anything down, not a good idea. Not a good mix. So that's part of the reason why I don't like doing that. We'll do meet and greets, but I just don't like. I'm not a big drinker anyway. So that's another reason why I because a lot of people think I'm boring because, you know, hey, let's go get a drink. It's like, okay, I'll drink a Coke or a Pepsi or something. I won't drink alcohol. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. but that's kind of boring. I don't want to drink alone. So you're not drinking alone. I'm just not drinking alcohol with you is all.
Right.
That's what I tell them. But let me have you give this, not on how to publish, but I mentioned to you before we started recording, I met a lot of people, at OC Paracon and some other conventions that I've covered and other events. A lot of people that have, they tell me privately, they have an idea for a paranormal book in them. They just don't know how to get started. Now, like I said, not on publishing. You talked about that a little bit. I'm going to have you come back on the other episode where we do about that, where we cover it in detail. But just what's that one push? What's the piece of advice you would give that person that has that idea? They just need that one final shove to actually make it a reality.
Read. Definitely read what they offer. You know, if you're going to get a publisher, which I didn't, you know, this is a small book. I mean, we're talking 119 pages here. It's a small book. I would advise them to read a lot about self-publishing and do their own pros and cons. Read about both. There's so many publishers out there. But as far as the hardest part is writing the book, the hardest part is going through editing. The hardest part is going through constructive criticism during editing and having things that you say replaced. You know, it's the book has your name on it, but the editor, of course, is going to make things more appealing to the reader. So you have to take that into consideration. You've got to have some tough skin to do this as well, because if you go writing a book with ego, it's not going to work out for you, because you're going to have an editor telling you that you're wrong doing something. And some people have a problem with people telling them they're wrong or they need constructive criticism. Keep that in mind. You're going to have that throughout this. And what I wrote is edited. I'm not saying it's heavily edited, but it's been edited to be more appealing, to be more flowing. That's just the nature of the book itself. What I wrote is factual. And facts are boring, but they're there. And of course, the process of the whole thing, the publisher would do this as well. The editor there, they would flower it up. They call it, make it appeasable. So, you know, understand that that's coming. Understand that there's a waiting period, and it's stressful. It's exciting at the same time. You put this thing, you get it. And let's say Amazon, for example, you get it into Amazon. You boom, there's your digital. Now you have to wait for your print, and then you know there's a waiting game. There's stages. Reviews come in. They take anywhere from 2 to 3 days to appear. And everything is a little bit behind when you self-publish. A publisher, you're not going to deal with any of this. They're just going to say, okay, you've got this, here's your book. But they're also going to take a lot of money from you. So it's a gamble. I just chose to self-publish. I went with the advice of someone that I trust and self-published. And so far, it's working out really great for me.
Some good advice there. Yeah. So for you, Todd, are there any other book ideas or is this it?
It's kind of addicting, Henry. It really is, but I want it to be a healthy kind of thing. I don't want to get obsessed with this, but there are some stories. There are some things I would like to put together. It would be more of a funnier book, because it would have a lot of my bloopers and things in the investigations, you know, where you fall downstairs, you fall through stairs, old buildings, just different stories. And I would like to teach old school EVP captures. I would like to teach that again to people with analog or digital recorders. And you have to write that down. I mean, that's some people are going to need a list.
Yeah.
But I would like to do something like that. Something different.
Sad to say, some may even need a definition of analog. What does that mean? But yeah, we'll look out for that. So let everybody know, the especially for the book, the website, and social media, everywhere they can follow, and especially, like I said, get the book.
Oh, sure. You can, right now you can get it. If you want just a regular paperback copy, you can go to Amazon, just search The Haunted Voice. And if you want a signed copy, you can go to my website, toddmichaelbates.com, and you can get an ebook there. I'll personally email it to you. You can get the paperback there, and you can get the hardback. The hardback's going to be coming soon. The paperback's going to be out on the 16th. Those that ordered will get those a little after the 16th, but paperback is available now. And the ones that ordered will get theirs on the 16th. And then I'll make another order, of course, when the hardback comes out and get those out. So that's the fun part about it.
Yeah. So I'll link everything up on the show description. Now, as far as Haunted Voices, the show, what should we look out for in these last 2 months of the year?
Last 2 months, what you going to look out for? Well, we've got some great guests coming up. We've got author Jeff Davis. He's going to be coming on, historian. We're talking about a little cryptozoology with the Alaska Killer Bigfoot crew. They're going to be making an appearance, hopefully. And let me double check. Yeah, we have got an open discussion coming up on the 18th and the 25th. We've got William Becker coming on. He's going to be an awesome interview. Now, on December 9th, I want to put this out there. We've got author Mike Ricksecker coming on as well, and he's going to be talking about shadow figures. And that's something that I have been wanting to talk about for a long time, and I can't think of anybody in the field better than Mike Ricksecker for shadow figures.
Yeah. Mike's a good friend. He's been on a few times. I'm sure he'll bring it up there, or maybe he doesn't want to talk about it anymore, but we spent almost an entire segment laughing at the fact that we can't say shadow figure or shadow man because somebody trademarked the words shadow man. So we can't say, and it's dumb because it's in the title of one of his books, two of his books, in fact.
That's insane.
Yeah. So you might want to bring that up. That he'll go on for like an entire segment on that.
I'll bring it up.
Yeah, I'm sure. As you can imagine, Mike has a lot of things to say about that. Yeah, but no, Mike's a good guy. He's fun to talk to. He's always a good guest here on Paranormal Perception. So yeah, definitely going to look out for that one. I have a link to everything, to the show, and especially to the book for all of you guys to get it. So Todd, again, congratulations. Thank you for my digital copy. I'll be one of the first to order the hardcover when that comes. I want to put it on my library. But congratulations on the book. And as you know, you have red carpet treatment. You're welcome back here on the show anytime.
Thank you so much, Henry. I love being here.
Paranormal Perception will return in a moment. You know them as the show's spiritual and paranormal consultants. You've heard heroes speak the spiritual language as he shares his knowledge with us. Now, watch as hero Sean Clennon Bestpalm investigates some well-known locations, as well as some you may have never heard of. Watch how the ancient teachings are used to communicate with the other side, and what shocking beings are sometimes unearthed. Watch their investigations on youtube.com/unearthingthesupernatural and on TikTok under @officialUTS. Think beyond written history with Unearthing the Supernatural.
Follow the show on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. You'll learn more about Henry, the guests on the show, and you'll be the first to get OC Paracon announcements. Look for Paranormal Perception and start following. Now, back to the show.
Brilliant. Yeah, I forgot to tell them about our Twitter. But if you didn't hear me last week, yeah, we do have a new Paranormal Perception Twitter account. Yeah, I know, I got rid of it because none of you were following us. Well, it's kind of the same case now, but we have a new Twitter. It's at Paratalk Show, at Paratalk Show. You can start following us there. You're definitely going to want to because starting next Friday, November 25th, which is, well, for a lot of you, you might know it as Black Friday. If you're taking part in that, be safe out there. Be nice to each other out there. For everybody else, that's not. It's just the day after Thanksgiving. But Twitter, on that Friday, next Friday, it's going to be the only place where you can find a new feature that's going to start. Now, I don't know if it's going to be every Friday, every day. I honestly could do it every day. Once you see what it is, you'll see what I mean. But it all depends on you. Again, start following us at Paratalk Show on Twitter. I'll say this. It's similar to when I had, Paranormal Perception 360 Degrees. Remember when Brenda, Nicole, myself would share news stories with you? It's going to be similar to that, but it's going to have more pictures, audio, video. We can show you more things this time. Now, I also know a lot of you have left Twitter because of who owns it. So maybe here's a reason for you to come back. I mean, look, seriously, if you're gonna leave something or not use something or not support something or someone because of who owns it or what their life and their political views are, if you really knew, you'd have nothing in your lives. Seriously. Now, I've always said this. Twitter's not a real place. It's not. Like most social media, it's just a platform to share ideas. All of you, on Twitter specifically, all of you have been using your arrows to share what you think are creative ideas. Now, when I say arrows, this is an OC Paracon reference. Specifically, those of you that were there, remember something that Joska told us. So that's what I mean when I say you've all been using your arrows on Twitter to share what you think are creative ideas. They're not. Spoiler alert, they're not creative. Trust me, in case you're wondering. This is coming from somebody who's been... I gotten paid to be creative long before Twitter or the internet, so I know what I'm talking about. It's not my opinion. So, now, starting next Friday, like I said, watch how the paranormal, at least the paranormal coming from me, gets creative. But that's only if you're following us on Twitter, at Paratalk Show. So, you can ignore everything else, all the nonsense that's on Twitter. I know there's a lot of it. You can ignore it and just follow us at Paratalk Show. Set up the notifications, however you do it, so that you don't miss this new feature. It is going to be weekly, that's for sure. It could be daily, but for sure, for now, I'll say it's going to be a weekly feature. Only debuts next Friday and only on Twitter at Paratalk Show. Make sure you follow us there. So, as far as the show is concerned, next week, it's Thanksgiving here on Turtle Island. However you celebrate it or don't celebrate, whatever you do, be here next Friday as we travel back to Halloween night with Integrity Paranormal Research. They did an investigation, a Halloween night investigation of the Omen House in LA. What did they find? Well, we'll talk about it next week. And I'm going to play an EVP that they captured there. We can't figure out what it is. We think so. It just makes no sense, but we'll talk about it on the air. Maybe you can figure out what it is. Then after that, Unearthing the Supernatural, the boys here in Sean Clan, they're going to join me to talk about Thanksgiving. But like always, it's not what you're probably thinking we're going to say about Thanksgiving. So if you're traveling next week, be safe and come on back next week for a whole new perception of the paranormal. That was a new paranormal perception.
The broadcast will quiet at this time for your safety. Continue to carry out the following instructions.
Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and watch event coverage on our YouTube channel, all under Paranormal Perception. Follow the show's spiritual counselors on YouTube and TikTok, both under Unearthing the Supernatural. If you have a question or would like to be a guest,
or know someone who should be,
send an email to henry@paranormalperception.show. This is Paranormal Perception.
Paranormal Perception was produced by 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC.